Hey, it's Daryl C. Murphy, and I just want to talk to you real quick. The Common is produced at WBUR in Boston. We're public media. We don't have paywalls, which means we don't ask you to pay to see our work. We say, here's some powerful stories for free. And then, if some of those stories you read or listen to are important to you, and you talk about it with your friends and family, and you even see the world a little differently, then we ask you to support it, because we want to continue making work that is meaningful to you. And right now, I want to let you know what's happening at WBUR. Our radio shows, our podcasts are getting some of the biggest audiences we've ever had. Our journalism is winning awards, reaching new and more diverse audiences. And you are a big part of that. Our journalism has never been stronger, but the business has never been harder. We've had a big loss of sponsorship dollars, like a lot of media companies have in recent years. But one thing we've always been pretty good at is getting support from our listeners to make the things they love. So we're asking right now, in a crucial moment for WBUR, can you help us get through this by joining other listeners in supporting WBUR? We need your help to keep making the podcast you're listening to right now, along with everything else that comes from WBUR. Your help would mean a lot to me and to all of my colleagues. So please, head to our website, WBUR.org. Thanks.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. Miriam Wasser, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Doing all right. Miriam, you are a WBUR senior climate and environment reporter, and you've got a story for us today about a chemical fire at a hazardous waste disposal center in Braintree. Now, the impacts of this still aren't fully known. It all starts on the night of February 16th. Something combusts at the Clean Harbors Disposal Center around 10 o'clock at night. It's a two-alarm fire, and a town councilor named Elizabeth Maglio gets a call from the mayor. What happens next?
Right. So the mayor calls her around 10:30 and tells her he's headed over there. He doesn't have much information, but there's a big fire and he'll keep her posted. And just to back up here for a second, Clean Harbors is a big hazardous waste disposal company, but their facility in Braintree is the largest hazardous waste disposal facility in all of New England. It's also really close to Elizabeth Maglio's house, and so it's in her district. She sees outside that she can see the smoke, so she runs outside across the street, starts taking photos and videos, and she's immediately worried because there's a lot of other infrastructure in the area. Really close to Clean Harbors, you have these big fuel tanks. There's a power plant, a chemical manufacturing facility, a fertilizer plant, and the Weymouth Natural Gas Compressor Station. Mm-hmm. So running through her mind is just a bunch of worst-case scenarios.
Right.
The fire started in a row of tractor trailers that were parked by a loading dock. Clean mm-hmm. Harbors uses these to store hazardous waste that's coming into their disposal center. One of those trailers, right, something spontaneously combusted.
Spontaneously combusted. Wow. At this fire, right, I assume there's some first responders there. What happens next?
The fire department shows up shortly after the alarms go off, and they attempt to connect to a hydrant on city property, and they find that the water pressure is really low, and it doesn't work.
What?
Yeah. They're able to find a hydrant that does work. The fire chief later said, you know, this delayed them by about 4 or 5 minutes, which did allow the fire to spread to two more trailers. So now there's four on fire. They did also encounter later on in the night a second hydrant that didn't work. So that was one set of problems. They also encountered another problem because they didn't know what was burning when they first showed up. Trailers like this have placards on the outside that have a list of everything that's inside of them. And because of the fire, those placards melted. So the fire department was kind of working blind. Thankfully, some representatives from Clean Harbors did show up shortly thereafter, and they were able to say, like, watch out for this trailer. There's thousands of gallons of flammable fuel in it, for instance. So the department was able to, you know, direct their hoses on that and keep that one from going up in flames. In the end, the fire department is able to get the fire out by about 1 a.m. Three trailers have completely burned. Two are damaged. But, you know, a big takeaway from this is that, like, this could have been a lot worse. And some emergency response issues that came up and that many people in the community are now saying definitely need to be solved.
Okay, so three trailers storing chemical materials have fully burned in Braintree. Were residents notified while this was all going down?
This has been a point of controversy. So the mayor did not issue any sort of like robocall or reverse 911 call to residents to alert them. Instead, he opted to post on the town's Facebook page, encouraging people to stay at home and keep their windows closed. He did this at about 11 p.m. And so, as you can imagine, not a lot of people saw it. He later said he regretted this and he wished he had done the reverse 911 call. He also called Elizabeth Maglio back later that night, and he mentioned that he was going to do the Facebook post. So she did her best to amplify that. She shared that. She has a text group with some people in the neighborhood. She let them know. But not a lot of people in Braintree, let alone nearby Weymouth and Quincy, not a lot of people got the message. And so in the morning, there's a new problem because people wake up, they hear about this, and they are totally freaked out.
People were waking up like, oh my God, what happened? And so then my phone is really exploding and people are texting and calling and asking, what happened? Do you know what happened? What did we breathe? What are the chemicals? Is it safe to go outside? What are we going to do? Why am I seeing this on the news? All I can say is what I know, which was pretty much nothing.
Okay. What does the community know at this point? Seems like there's a lot of missing pieces here. You know, you have the Facebook post at 11 p.m. on a Thursday. You have the melted placards, so we don't know exactly what was burned. Tell me, what kind of knowledge does the community have after this?
So there have been two big town council meetings where they've invited members from Clean Harbors, from the Department of Public Health, from the fire department, and that's where a lot of this information comes out. So that's where we learned about the placards. That's where we learned about the hydrants. For a long time, people were saying, well, what burned in those trailers? And Clean Harbors wasn't putting out that list. They said it was under investigation, but, you know, it included things like waste paints, solvents, epoxies, oil filters. So pretty nasty stuff. And the Massachusetts Department of Environmental Protection was there the night of the fire, and they put out some statements saying, we tested the air and everything was fine. Now, people had a lot of questions about that because there are some air monitors in the region, and they showed really high spikes in particulate matter during the fire. And that is what you would expect to see during a fire. And we do know that even a short-term spike in air pollution can pose a risk to people with underlying health problems. These three towns, Quincy, Braintree, and Weymouth, have statistically higher rates of some cancers, pediatric asthma. So there are concerns with even short-term spikes in air pollution. But I think what kind of happened is there was a patchwork of information coming out and people didn't know who to trust, but they knew that they weren't really trusting the authorities and they didn't feel like anyone was telling them the truth. And I spoke to some experts who said, when you aren't totally forthcoming right off the bat, it engenders mistrust in people and it makes them think that you have something to hide. So I think that the tone was set right from the get-go with this, between the Facebook post and sort of the lack of explanation of what was even in those trailers in the first place.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more from Miriam.
A gruesome scandal at the nation's most prestigious university. shines a light on a macabre and lucrative world of buying and selling human remains.
Human body parts taken by a manager at the Harvard Medical School morgue and then sold to customers online.
So my first skull is right there on the top shelf. That's my first and my favorite.
I'm reporter Allie Jarmani, and this story raises some tough questions. How should we treat the dead? And who gets to decide?
There should be some middle ground where we treat deceased tissues differently than we treat old refrigerators.
This is Postmortem, The Stolen Bodies of Harvard, a new season of WBUR's Last Scene. Listen and follow Last Scene wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. I imagine community members are pretty agitated by the handling of the information around this event.
You know, people still want to know what they breathed in that night. You know, there were people who walked their kids to school the next day. I spoke to one girl whose younger sister slept with her window open and she woke up and her eyes were red and puffy. There are reports on social media of people saying my house smelled like melting plastic that night or my throat was really scratchy. You know, so while we don't really have the information we need now to link any of those things to this fire or to necessarily say that anyone was exposed, people are concerned. And I think it's really important to point out that just 2 weeks earlier is when we had that big train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio. And that resulted in 100,000 gallons of toxic chemicals getting burned off. And there are a lot of outstanding questions about lingering health impacts from that. That's looming in the background, I would say. So eventually we did get the list of what was in those trailers. And I showed it to some experts who said, you know, yeah, there are definitely some like hazardous materials on here, things that if they burned and people inhaled could pose a health risk. But these experts I talked to said, we don't know where the plume went. We don't know enough about the weather conditions. We can't say anything definitive. Now, what was interesting at a town council meeting on March 21st, a consultant that Clean Harbors hired came up and he explained that he had done a lot of that testing. And he said, I mapped where the plume went. And I think based on the size of the fire and the amount of material that burned, I don't think this posed any risk to people. But as you can imagine, people responded and said, well, I don't trust anything that comes from Clean Harbors. I want the state to do an independent study, or I want the town of Braintree to hire someone to do an independent study.
Got it. Miriam, you've mentioned that this fire could have been a lot worse. But I understand it's really pushed the community to think about what would happen if this situation had been some sort of catastrophe. So I'm wondering what's happening going forward. Is Braintree doing anything to address these concerns?
So to take a little bit of a step back, in Massachusetts, every municipality is required to have an emergency response plan. What they are not necessarily required to have is a regional plan. And that's what people want because Braintree, Weymouth, Quincy, they share roadways, they share air. These are neighbors, right? There was a fire at the Clean Harbors facility in Braintree and the air monitors in Weymouth picked it up, right? Yeah. So what affects one community affects the others. And what people have said is if there was a big issue, how are you going to evacuate people? How are you going to respond to a medical emergency? What's going to happen if the cell phone towers go down? People really want to know that those in charge are doing whatever they can to keep them safe and that they have a contingency plan if things go wrong. So you have people like Elizabeth Maglio, who was that town councilor we talked about at the beginning. She ran for town council in 2021 because she didn't feel like people were taking these concerns seriously enough. People are taking it seriously now, it seems. At a town council meeting on March 21st, pretty much every member of the town council, you had the mayor, you had the fire chief, all sorts of members of the public, everyone standing up saying, we need a regional plan. We need to do something about this.
Miriam, there's a lot in this story. It's still developing. There are still some unanswered questions. What sort of answers are you looking for going forward as you cover this?
Yes, there are a couple things I'll be watching for. One, see what happens with the hydrants. It sounds like the town is committed to doing a better audit of all of the public and private fire hydrants and having a better notification system so that the fire department knows which ones are working and which ones aren't. I'm very interested to see any future exposure studies that come out. Clean Harbors is required by state law to produce a report by the end of April where they're going to bring in another professional to assess any contamination for soil or water. It's a bit too late to do anything for the air, but they might model it. And then I'm also really interested to see if a regional evacuation plan gets created. I reached out to MEMA, the Massachusetts Emergency Management Agency, which would be the one to kind of spearhead this. Mm-hmm. And they said, we haven't received a formal request from these municipalities yet, but like we stand with open arms ready to help them when they do. The Department of Environmental Protection says it's on board to help with this. So this really could be a turning point, and it'll be interesting to see if people follow through.
Miriam, thank you so very much for talking to us about this story. There is a lot here to think about. So yeah, thank you.
My pleasure, Daryl.
That's WBUR senior climate and environment reporter, Miriam Wasser. And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening to The Common. Look, if you have any thoughts about this episode, especially if you're from Quincy, Braintree, or Weymouth, feel free to hit us up on Twitter, Instagram, or TikTok at WBURTheCommon. You can also send us an email at thecommon@wbur.org. I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.